Just past the bottom of the hour on the morning roundup. We just got done with our NFL dialogue and almost a monologue, if you will. So much to talk about from Super Wild Card Weekend. We've got another great game tonight. We'll probably leave that one aside. We've got a lot to cover, and we'll certainly talk about the recap tomorrow and what the NFC looks like. We talked a lot of AFC, still somewhat of an unpainted picture in the NFC with Tom Brady still out there, as well as the up and down Cowboys. You never really know what you're going to get from Dallas right now. Let's go ahead and let's swing it, though, right into high school basketball, our recap from this weekend. I'm going to go over some quick scores from some of our other area teams. Holcomb and Scott City, they do go ahead and split. The Lady Longhorns beating the Lady Beavers 74-55. Real quick on those Lady Longhorns, I think that's my surprise team from Western Kansas. They're now at 7-2, I believe, is Holcomb. So congratulations there, a 19-point win over Scott City. And then on the other side of that, the Beavers go ahead and knock off the Longhorns 56-43. Hugoton splits with Goodland. Girls lost a close one to a very good Cowgirl team, 54-46, and the boys pick up a nice little win as well, 53-50 over the Cowboys of Goodland. Ulysses, their really, really troublesome start to the year continues for both sides. They are swept by Colby. Girls lost 57-11. The boys fall 65-38, and that now sets us up for our extended preview, Garden City and Dodge City. We'll start with Garden City. Girls lose to Hayes 52-43. Really, for me in that game, it was the slow start in the first quarter. Coach Jacob Miller said it was a flat practice. I was worried. I thought we might come out a little flat in that first quarter, but not that flat. Garden City's first made bucket doesn't come until the last minute of that first quarter. It was 17-2 at that point. They only lost by 9, so you find some middle ground in that first quarter, maybe 17-10, somewhere in there. I think Garden City has a really good shot at this game. Camden Carr made 3 threes for Garden City. She really was nice off the bench, a new career high for her. Girls started slow, but I think fought really hard, and if they don't have that slow start, some foul trouble, they get a really, really nice win at the road against Hayes. Meanwhile, Garden City, the boys, win 60-54. Isaiah Salinas, a new career high, 19 points. It's the first win for Garden City at Hayes since 2019, and that was actually the last time Hayes lost at home in conference play, was in 2019. So, history repeats itself, certainly so for Garden City there, first win in nearly 3 years. Boys now 10-0 for the first time since 1950. The best start in program history was 11-0. So if Garden City's able to win their first matchup, second matchup, this 2022-23 team would have the best start in Garden City High School basketball history, and it matches their total win total from last year. Derek will swing it into Dodge, and then we'll kind of go into both of these four matchups total for each team.
Yeah, well, we'll start with the girls, and man, what a win on Friday night, 32-29, upsetting number 3 Liberal. It's an undefeated team coming into the ball game, but they did a very nice job limiting Haley Contreras. Both her and Ellie Hatcher fouled out of the game late, and it was important. Contreras had just 7 points, 3 of 12 shooting. Liberal shot at just 25.5% for the game and only made 1 3. So this is a team that certainly has struggled at times, and even coming in, this has not been their strength, is getting 3-pointers. They're only 26% on the season. They were 39% from the floor, which really isn't all that great when you consider an undefeated team who was number 3 in the state coming in. But for Dodge City, Alex Gear got the only points that mattered. She only had 3 in the game, and all 3 came in the final 20 seconds. Got a scoop and score, if you will. Picked off a pass as Liberal had the ball with about 35 seconds left with a tie game, and so they were trying to take the last shot and potentially win. And at worst case, Liberal was thinking overtime. But Alex Gear gets a steal, goes all the way down, lays it in, gets a foul. Misses the free throw, as a matter of fact. Liberal comes back down, misses a shot. Dodge gets the rebound. Gear goes to the line, makes 1 out of 2. And then Liberal's half-court heave does not go, and Dodge City springs the upset win. Dodge had 15 turnovers in the game, but only 1 turnover in the fourth quarter. So something they really cleaned up as the game kind of went along. Gear had 7 rebounds, and Yasha Potts underneath had 13 points. Dodge was sorely out-rebounded in this game, 33-23, but they were able to neutralize that by forcing 18 turnovers. And how about this? 19 of their 32 points came off of Liberal turnovers. That's amazing. Neither team led by more than 6 points in this game, and there were 6 ties and 8 lead changes, which is hard to imagine in a game that only had 61 points. So very nice win for the Dodge City girls. Then on to the boys. they really looked like a completely different team than Tuesday night. And this is what we've seen with this young team a little bit. And Liberal has struggled, no question about it. They've now lost 13 consecutive conference games. It's been a couple of years since they've won a WAC game after they went winless last season as well. But Dodge City came out from the tip and really controlled this game. 36-20 at halftime, very comfortable lead. And then they just kind of sustained that going into the second half, including a 22-10 fourth quarter with a lot of the subs on the floor. And the stat of this game, again, was turnovers. They forced 28 of them, scored 30 points off of 28 Liberal turnovers. Dodge also shot it very, very well, 12 of 34 from three. So they made 12 threes. That's a season high. It's really something they've struggled to do. How about this too, Balin? 23 assists on 30 made baskets. Talking about sharing the ball. Anthony Perez leading the way with 14 points on four threes. Daylon Nzueta got into double figures as well with 12. Springer had 11. Tristan Bowler had 12 off the bench. And I think this may surprise you too, Balin, the fact that Dodge City wins by, 26 points, 73-47. Isaiah Taylor had just 3 points in this game and 1 of 10. If Dodge can get that kind of production out of other players, this is going to be a tough team to beat in the conference.
Certainly so, and I think the biggest surprise out of the weekend or Friday night was that win for the girls over Liberal. Last little nugget here I want to talk about. I think this boys matchup, Garden City and Dodge City, the way Dodge City's been playing recently becomes very, very intriguing. We've got a lot of time to talk about that, though. CD, I want to get your take on this because you have been around this conference a lot longer than both me and Derek have, and you had kind of set off the mic that this is not the Liberal team of old on the girls' side that you have seen dominate, really, the Western Athletic Conference for quite some time. They looked a little suspect against Garden City. Garden City had a lot of opportunities in that game, I think, to make it even closer than the 8 points showed. And then Dodge City goes and pulls the upset, if you want to even really call it that at this point, at home. What do you think is kind of different about this Liberal team than in years past from what you've seen? Obviously, minimal tape and minimal in person, but just on first glance.
Yeah. The main thing that stands out is just the talent. And it's high school. This happens at every high school, most every high school across America, is you have these ebbs and flows of incoming classes that, and Liberal just had some pretty good classes back to back. There were some sisters in there that were all just a part of a really talented group, went on to play, some of them Division I basketball, and then others at other places, whether that be Division II or JUCO. And the talent level just, and that's usually nothing you can do or help, you know, when that comes across. They're still well coached. Just the talent level is a lot different than what it has been in the recent past.
Yeah, that was pretty good indication, that matchup against Garden City. Not to knock Garden City at all, but they're not expected to be. That's kind of what I'll put mm-hmm. it. They weren't expected to be on the same plane as Liberal, and Liberal even beat a really good Hayes team, I think, you know, on the road earlier that week.
Yeah.
They're number 3 and 6A. That's probably going to drop. They may drop out all the way, the top 10, really, when you look at the top 10 in girls. Switching it over to Garden City, a team that on the boys' side is ranked in the top 10, and now we can kind of go back in time and get your take on this as well, CD, because Hayes traditionally has been the golden standard. I mean, they've won the conference 3 of the last 4 seasons, and now Garden City, at least for this year, kind of looks like they're starting to take that away from Hayes and proved it really with a win on Friday night.
Yeah, and again, you know, Hayes graduated. We talked about this. You know, Hayes graduated a lot of really good players. They had a really good class leave. And then these kids for Garden City have been playing a lot of varsity basketball. They kind of went through the ringer. I know Steinmetz played when he was a sophomore, and he had to learn the varsity game pretty quick in a rough way. And that's helped him out at this point, now in his senior year. Of course, and this is kind of like what Derek was saying about Dodge City. You get the Salinas game against Hayes, and you know, when other guys step up, it's a tough team to beat. They're just, you got Caleb Wiese, who's been playing since he was a freshman, and he took his lumps as well, playing as a freshman against 18-year-old kids. That's a big difference between 14 and 18 years old. So, you know, this team has taken their lumps, but Coach Williamson has them playing very good and to their strengths, which I think is very important at every level of coaching. We talk about the NFL even. Brian Daboll has done such a good job of this. Doug Peterson has done such a great job of this. Play to your strengths. Play to what talent you have, and lean on those things and lean into those things. Coach Jeff Williamson for Garden City has done that. And you know, these kids took their lumps early on, and it's showing up for them. Same thing during football season. You know, Brian Hill had a lot of kids that played when they were young, freshmen, sophomores, that took their lumps playing varsity football, and it paid off for them this past year. Kind of the same thing with the basketball team.
Last note for Garden City, I think that for a 10-0 team, they've seen a lot of adversity in that game against Hayes. Jay Steinmetz did not play the entire second quarter with two fouls. Isaiah Salinas was out a quarter and a half in the first half with two fouls as well. Most of his 19 points, in fact, 18 of his 19 points come in the second half. That's what's been impressive for me for Garden City, is they've battled through, you know, some deficits early on, in particular the Great Bend game as well. They were trailing at halftime, and now back-to-back conference games on the road against two very good teams. I think Great Bend is going to challenge Garden City. That's going to be a very fun game to watch when Great Bend comes back to Garden City. But the Buffaloes on the road Thursday night, they will be at the Valley Center Tournament Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they have a matchup with Sunrise Christian Academy. No, not that Sunrise Christian Academy that you're probably thinking of that plays IMG in Oak Hill. This is their men's level basketball team, so they actually have three teams, we believe. They've got their
They have junior high.
Right.
They have just the regular high school team, same as any other high school. They have their elite squad, which is the one that travels across the country and plays the IMGs, the Oak Hills, the top teams around the country. It's where Grady Dick went to school. It's where Buddy Heald went to school to play high school basketball. And then they have a post-grad team for players that maybe need an extra year of development. Sometimes they're international. Sometimes they just need an extra year to see if they can get a better offer at a better school that have kind of already graduated high school and are taking an extra year to work on their game. So they have that team as well.
A lot of kids, too, back to that prep conversation, COVID really wiped out a whole year of progression for a lot of these kids. Yeah. You see that at the junior college level. And those prep academies, really, really useful for those kids that may have missed a sophomore, junior year, getting that almost a year back of basketball. We're going to actually just keep it right here. We're going to go through this briefly because we're going to talk about this game at length tomorrow. I want to get to our final segment and talk a little junior college basketball. Kansas wins 62-60. Jayhawks continue to find a way to win. Grady Dick goes for 21 points. Jalen Wilson, who I think right now, a lot of people want Zach Edey. I'm going to go Jalen Wilson as my player of the year just because I think Kansas has played more consistently than Purdue. Gets a double-double, 5-0 in the Big 12, sole lead for the first time this year for any team in the Big 12. Kansas currently has that. K-State, meanwhile, loses to TCU, a game in which TCU kind of just ran K-State out of the gym, 82-68. Wildcats couldn't really score the rate that they had been scoring previously. Now the question remains, can they come back, short turnaround, and compete with KU? I think so. I think that game's going to be maybe the game of the year in the Big 12. It should certainly be. But we're going to leave that tabled for tomorrow's discussion because we're going to have plenty of time to talk about that and preview that game.